I got my watch here, so we'll be good. Okay. And my PowerPoint thing, I feel so powerful. I took my shoes off a little while ago just to see how Melissa does it. I don't have the grace for that. So it's like, so well, maybe there's something to this shoeless thing, and like, because she's always up here with her shoes off, but she has some kind of special dispensation, I think, because I didn't get it. I get nothing free. I get no extra in. I get no extra spiritual enlightenment. Well, I started something last week. Well, it's actually a few weeks ago, but last week I started talking about a topic called living on purpose. And it came from the same because the Lord told me, he said, Jeremy, he said, the world moves my people when I've made them anchors to move the world. And I started asking him about this and what this means. And he was telling me, he said, the thing is that I've given you everything you need to live free and to live purposeful in your life, which means we can live deliberately in our lives. We don't have to be constantly tossed around by every circumstance, every experience, and have to be moved to and fro by what the world does, okay? We can live deliberately free based upon the Word of God, okay? Everybody get that? Everybody's here last week, right? And I talked about a few things we're talking about. First off, we have to understand we have free will, that you're not a victim to anything in this world. A Christian, someone who is born-again Christian, is not a victim to anything. We do not live in that mentality. It does not matter what it is. I remember even the word where God said, even though you were a slave, he said, you're still not a victim. He told them to live righteously even in that situation. And he told the masters to live righteously too. He actually equated the two people in the Christian faith. They were equal. Neither one were emboldened and enslaved. In other words, they were both free. They might have been, the one person might have been slaved in terms of a physical reality, but he was not a slave in a spiritual reality. And he said, you're supposed to live out of that spiritual reality, not the physical reality. You guys know what I'm saying? You guys remember that passage where it talked about that? It talked about slaves, obey your masters. And it talked about masters, okay, be respectful to your slaves as equals. All right? So in all these circumstances, we're completely free of everything. And we have free will to choose and decide the direction of our life, whether it's going to be godly direction or whether it's going to be the devil's direction, correct? Those are the two directions. And I said it was no longer about choosing right and wrong. Now it's about choosing what? Life or death. Everything that we choose now is not about, oh, well, it's right or it's wrong. It's about life and death, which means every decision that you make either produces life or it produces death. There's no third direction, okay? Every thought that we have in our mind will produce life or it'll produce death. Everything that we say will produce life or it'll produce death. You guys starting to see this reality? This is a big deal because we don't take heed of it, right? We think it's benign a lot of times. Well, it's okay to say something about someone over here. No, you don't understand. When you speak it out, you're speaking death, right? What do you think that's going to cause? Okay? So if we got to, I'm trying to get this on our radar to start realizing that for us to live purposefully, we have to start to live with this consciousness that it's like everything that we do has to be obedient to the Word of God, that we have to do everything according to the Word. How we think has to be according to the Word. How what we say has to be according to the Word. And we have the freedom to choose that. The devil does not want us to think that we have the ability to choose life. He wants us to believe that we're defeated before we ever begin. How many feel that way sometimes? I do. I see a problem or a situation come up in my life, and I'm like, how in the world is that going to, am I ever going to overcome that? And you're defeated before you ever begin. How many people, if they would have saw the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, would have been like, that's a little too hot. Can you throw it? Right? Because the second thing I was talking about, because we didn't see we're not using our imaginations appropriately. We're not imagining our imaginations linked to hope. Remember when we talked about that? Your hope and your imagination are linked together. Hope does not make us ashamed because we have the cross. That's what it says in Romans 5. So that our hope is not like wishful thinking, it's a guarantee based upon the purchased blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. So when we let our imaginations be congruent to God's word, if I see myself walking through the fire, that's not wishful thinking, that's the word of God. Right? So when we start walking through the fire and we're believing in the word of God, using our imagination, saying we're getting through this thing, I see myself on the other side, we come out not even smelling like smoke. Because the fire was not about you, it was about him. It's about what you believe. All right? That's a little recap. The last thing I was going to talk about today, we were going to talk about authority. Now, we're understanding we have free will. We're starting to take our thoughts and everything captive, correct? And now we have to start exercising our authority. So I kind of came up with a couple things on authority. And this is going to be good today, so you guys let me know if I go too fast, okay? But I feel like there's three things we have to know. First off, do we have authority? Do we even have it? All right, so I'm going to kind of go through the Bible on a quick basis and show you how we have authority. That's a guarantee. It's not a what if. It's not a maybe. It is a guarantee that we have authority, and we always have had authority, okay? That God has entrusted us with authority from the very beginning, and that's never changed. All right, and I'm going to show you kind of like how the enemy kind of like has tweaked that, made us kind of confused on what's our authority, what it is. A lot of times we don't even feel like we have it anymore. So we're going to say, we have authority. What do we have authority over? And the last, how do we use our authority? Okay, so let's get to this. Let me see if I can make this work. Uh-oh. Oh, okay, there it is. Oh, and aim it at that. Oh, you did it? I broke it already. Melissa's going to kill me. Take my authority in the name of Jesus. She's going to take her authority. No, I'm just kidding. Now, just going to the next. Okay, so let's start off with Genesis 1:26. You guys can turn there in your Bible if you like, or just kind of read up on the page. And this is from the very beginning. We're talking the very first chapter in this book, in creation. And God said what? Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have what? Dominion, authority is what that means, over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Whose idea was it to give us authority? God's. What did he give us authority over on the earth? Everything, okay? So we know we have authority, right? So let me just kind of go through exactly what happened here. We've always had authority. It's right there written in the very first chapter of the Bible. We have authority. God's not a liar. When did he ever take it back? When did he say, they screwed it up, I'm taking it back, they can't have it anymore, how dare they? I don't remember seeing that anywhere. If he can't lie, which means he can't be an Indian giver, okay? It's like letting your kids play with one of your toys and they're kind of messing it up. You're like, you're not going to use that anymore. One of the things you own, you know, like, wait, that's a bad idea. I'm going to take it back. You can't play with that. You can't have that. You're going to ruin it. That's not what God did. He gave us unconditional authority on the earth, which means the direction of the earth, everything that's going to happen in the earth was directly relational to us. The decisions we made, the actions we did, everything. Let me ask you another question. What did Adam do every day with God? Walked with God, right? So he's walking with God every day in a relationship with God, and he had complete unconditional authority over the earth. All right, let's keep that in our minds. The enemy comes in, right, manipulates Eve, and of her own free will, correct? Right? He didn't hold a gun to her head. He didn't like I'm going to kill you if you don't make this decision. Of her own free will, she made a decision, and then of Adam's own free will, He made a choice as well. Why didn't God stop them? Because they had free will. And because they had authority. So, in other words, Adam and Eve, of their own free will, allowed the enemy to come in and manipulate them, right? And use their authority against them. At that point, that was transgression. We all know that Adam and Eve died. They didn't die necessarily physically right away, but what happened? Spiritually, was Adam able to walk with God in the cool of the day anymore? No. That's what changed. Did Adam's authority change, though? No. Remember this. This is very important later. He did not walk with God in the cool of the day anymore, but his authority had never changed. But now Adam had a new master. Because in Romans 6, there's a very cool verse. Well, it's cool in the sense that we have Jesus now. But it says, whomever you yield your members to, that's your master. Right? Whomever you yield your members to, that's who's in control of you. Whether sin unto death or unto slaves unto righteousness. Slaves to righteousness unto life, right? Should we go there real quick? Let's go to Romans 6. Let's find that verse real quick. Go over to Romans 6, just so you guys know what I'm talking about here. Romans 6, 16. And this says, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? In other words, this is not like fanciful words on a page. This is kind of a kingdom law. Whoever you obey is your master. Did you know if you obey your emotions, they rule you? If you obey your body, it rules you. It's the master. Right? That's what this is saying. So Adam and Eve, the enemy, they obeyed Satan and not God, and now Satan is the master. And so now Satan now has the ability to manipulate Adam and Eve's authority until redemption came. Are we understanding this? We getting this? I'll go to the next one. Let me see if we go to the next one here. This is just a couple other verses I wanted to show you. Just to kind of show you, just to kind of a little background so that you have a little more ammunition to talking about, like we have dominion. This is Psalm 8, 4 through 6. What is man that you're mindful of him, and a son of the man that you visit him? For you made him a little lower than the angels. That word is not angels. It actually is Elohim. Elohim means God. Plural. So this really should say, for you have made him a little lower than God and have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put a couple things under his feet. You have put all things under your feet. Our feet. That's the dominion we're talking about. Unconditional and complete that we have. All right, so we're good on that. So let's kind of like fast forward in time here. Satan wreaked havoc all over the world through man because, of course, man's authority. Man was not able to walk with who? God. So now the only one he was able to obey was the devil. The devil was able to manipulate him because he had no power to overcome the devil. He had no other source to guide him in that authority. Right? So here's the thing. Why didn't God just come down here and put a stop to it? That's enough. He gave us authority. So then what did God have to do to come on down here to take back that authority and set things straight? Well, he first used the prophets. He used man, right? First he used prophets, right? Everything was done through man. He didn't do anything without a man. Even the world was destroyed because of Noah. It says that in Hebrews. It says the world was destroyed because Noah saw the truth of it and God worked through Noah. Did you know that? Everything was done through man. God had no authority on the earth outside of man. Did you know that? I'm not saying he's not sovereign. I'm not saying he's not the owner. What I'm saying is, if he had to call it quits, that's it. No redemption. Do you understand what I'm saying? He could just pull the plug on the whole thing. Now, he had the right to do that. He could have pulled the whole plug on the whole thing. He had the right to do that. Okay? It's kind of like your landlord. You know, they can't come into your house, but they can kick you out if you're doing something wrong. Okay? So he could have just kicked us all out and said, that's it, done. I'm over it. But the devil used us as hostages so that God wouldn't do that. Did you know that? The devil was telling God, whatever you do to me, you've got to do to them, because we're one together. We're in this together, me and them. So the devil's holding you in front of God saying, whatever you did to me, you had to do to them. So God had to figure out a way to get you out of his hands so that he could finally, once and for all, keep us separated from him and give us one with him again for eternity. Do we get in the picture here? I want to make sure we understand this, because I feel like sometimes as Christians, we don't really get the big picture of what God's doing and what he's done. You're right? And it's hard for us to take that authority if we're not understanding exactly what happened at the beginning through time and what Jesus actually did on the cross. So here we are, we have man, God's working through, but even in the prophets, it was imperfect, right? They were killing all the prophets off. But even then, it was still like little pieces of the puzzle, but it wasn't a complete puzzle. It's just pieces. But no one was able to get a full picture. Okay? God was using man from then. So then what did God realize he had to do? Well, he had to send another man, but he had to send a perfect man. Someone who could take authority, but have the power to do it. Right? So he sent himself as a man. Because if he didn't come down as a man, he wouldn't have had any authority. Why do you think he's called Son of God and Son of Man? Right? Go with me to John chapter 5, and I'll show you a verse real quick about this. Chapter 5, verse 26. And this says, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also. Why? Because he is what? The Son of Man. Jesus Christ came down and was able to walk in authority because he was a man, and power because he was of God, because he was God. We getting this? Uh-oh. The devil's like, uh-oh. We've got a problem. I've got someone who I can't manipulate, someone who I can't use their authority against them, someone who walks in power. Because the devil didn't have any power. Guys, he was an angel, but the moment that he fall away from God, his authority was conditional. Right? As soon as he fell from God, his power was taken away because it was based upon God. Does that make sense? He had no power except what we gave him. Do we understand this? He has no power but what we give him. He does not have power in himself. He's not God. His only power was when he was a servant of the Most High God. God gave him power and authority. He misused that. God stripped that away. And now the only power he has is what we give him. We've got to make sure this is clear in our hearts and minds. Because too many times we think he's some kind of powerful being that can all of a sudden move in your life with this authority and power when it's your choices that give it to him. He has none. In fact, it says in the Revelations that one day we're going to look back like, this is the one? This is the one who, like, everyone, like, was creating so many problems? I'll be, like, step over him like this. Everyone's going to marvel, like, that's the one? Because the only mouth he can speak with is yours. The only power that he can use is what you have. His only authority is what you give him. Are we getting this? All right, good. We'll move on. So Jesus came as a man and did what? Even Satan tried to tempt him, right? And Jesus stood up and resisted every single one. by the word. Everyone. And the devil's like, I don't know what to do. I just got to wait for a better time, I guess. You know, maybe catch him off guard or something like that. You know, maybe hopefully down the road he'll slip up and I'll be able to sneak in there like I did with Adam and Eve. He never could. You know what fascinates me? Is that Jesus could have came down and done this in his godly power, but he says he forsook all of that to make himself low, even to the state of man, right? To be even the... And then he had to be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit, to right? Just as we do. To show us a picture of how we walk in authority and power on this earth and how we don't have to be manipulated by the enemy. And then he went to the cross to take all that back, to give it to us and bring back inheritance so that we could stand in authority and power and have inheritance forever. That's what he did. He could have done it much easier. But he did it because he wanted to show you a picture of what you look like when you're on this earth and you do not have to fall for any of the devil's problems anymore or anything he sends your way. He wanted to show you what you look like when he's in you. He could have done it so much easier, but he didn't. He wasn't doing it for himself. He was doing it for you. And it says he took back the keys of hell and damnation and death. And then what did it say he did? Then he came back up from the cross and he says, all authority under heaven and earth is mine. Go, therefore. You go. What do you think that means? That we should be passive? He's like, no, I have all authority under heaven and earth. You're one with we, which means you have all authority under heaven and earth. Before we just had earth. Now we have access to the very power of heaven itself. That's what my Bible says. Because our job here on earth is to bring heaven realities to earth and make them manifest in his kingdom here. That's our job. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Destroying the works of the enemy and making heaven become a reality on earth because we have the kingdom inside of us and we're supposed to be living kingdom people, enforcing the kingdom on the earth. All right, I'm getting a little... Go with me to Colossians 2:15. I'm going to show you this one last verse and then we're going to move on to talking about what we have authority over. Everybody's good? Everybody need to take a deep breath? That might have been just for me. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. Colossians 2:15, saying he's having, this is what he did on the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. When he says having disarmed them, principalities, you know what that word disarmed means? To means completely strip them for oneself. It means he completely stripped them of everything, making a spectacle of them. In other words, he's saying he didn't do this in a corner. He did this publicly. So that we can all see that they are stripped of everything and that belongs to us. It means to strip someone of everything for oneself. In other words, Jesus Christ took everything, all principalities and powers on this earth, he took away everything, their power and authority away from them, and gave it to us. And he did it in a public way. This wasn't done in a corner. It says they did it, as it says, it made a public spectacle of them so that you can see the truth of what happened there and we can triumph over it. That's a great verse, guys. We need to keep that one in our repertoire. That one needs to be hung on the fridge sometimes. Because, yes, I get it. There's earthly authorities. There's earthly power. I get that. There are those things. But nothing trumps the Spirit. And we people, we're the church. We have the authority on this earth. We do. We're God's people. It says in Corinthians that we are now what? Ambassadors for Christ. Do you know what an ambassador is? An ambassador is someone who's placed in a foreign country with every single power and authority at its disposal. Where that ambassador is, that is sovereign territory. And that ambassador can make any decision as if he was the president of the United States himself. The ambassador has every single, he doesn't just represent a person, he represents a nation. Did you realize that? An ambassador doesn't just represent himself, he represents a nation with all of its powers and delegations, everything. He represents it all to that foreign country. That's what an ambassador is. That's what we have. We represent the kingdom to this foreign country with all of its powers, its delegations, and authorities to the world. It's been entrusted to us completely. No holding back. Completely. So let's look at what we are having. I think I went to this verse next. Go ahead. That's Matthew 28. I think we've already kind of gone over that one. All right, go back to one more time. Let's go back to 28. I want you to look at this. What do we call this? Great Commission. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We have authority, and we have Him. What else do you need? That's called the commission. Authority is given in the commission. You don't commission someone and don't give them the authority to do it. Right? All right, let's go to the next one. All right, what do we have authority over? I'm having to look over here, so I don't have to turn my Bible. Ephesians 6:12. All right, so what do we wrestle against? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this darkness, of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So our fight, guys, is not based upon a physical fight. Okay, if you're just going to sit there and like be a leader and just be like, well, I have authority over you, that's just not how it works. You don't have authority over people unless God grants it to you, right? Now, I have authority because I've been a calling that I have, but my authority is only as much as you give me, right? You know, it would be terrible to be a leader without any followers, right? But that's a calling that I have. And God probably has called you to be over some people or whatever like that. That's just an authority. There are authorities on the earth. There's nations. There's governments that we have too. But that's not our authority. That's not what we have authority over. We have authority over something greater than that. We have authority over that, the spiritual realm, the spirit. The kingdom, guys, is not meat and drink, right? But what? Peace, joy, and righteousness in the what? Holy Spirit. That's what the kingdom is. Jesus even told them, like, you look to and fro and looking for the kingdom, but you're not going to find it because it's in you. It's in you. All right? So we've got to start looking past physical and start looking at what we have authority over, which is the spiritual. How many know that the spiritual moves the physical? How many knows that when God speaks, He's spirit, right? And when He speaks, that spirit manifests into a physical reality. Jesus said, "My words are life and spirit." Right? When God said, "Listen, I've given thee," and John 1, He says, "I've given you what? Authority, power to become sons of God. Not born of the will of women or men, but of God." The Spirit. See, that's the thing. Adam and Eve, they didn't even think of anything really in the physical. They knew they were spiritual beings first before their eyes were open, didn't they? They realized that their authority lied with walking with God every day in the Spirit. They walked with Him every single day. They didn't even realize they were like really their natural bodies until their eyes were open, and they're like, oh wow, I don't have any clothes on. Right? They realized they were spiritual beings first, and they realized, so they didn't understand of any kind of authority outside of that. Our authority lies within the spiritual realm, within the kingdom realm. Okay? That's where it lies. It doesn't lie trying to change your husband, or trying to change your wife, or trying to change your sister, or your brother, or your co-workers, or anything like that. But I tell you what, you could take authority and start speaking life to them. Because how many know every problem that you see in your life has a spiritual root to it? Every problem. You may think that it's, oh, that can't be true. There must be something. No, no, no. It all has a spiritual root to it. It all has a spiritual root. When we start speaking things in truth, we are moving things within the spiritual realm, which will begin to manifest itself in the physical. Do we get this? We're fighting the wrong fight. We're fighting the flesh when we should be speaking life from the Spirit and see the flesh come to submission. Do you see what I'm saying? The Spirit are eternal truths. These are kingdom laws. They're unbreakable, guys. Yet we're trying to figure out how to do things in the natural when we're first and foremost have authority in the spiritual realm where we're supposed to be speaking spiritual things and spiritual truths into existence. Because that's what God is. God is Spirit. He provides us with the information, everything we need, the Word, so that when we speak it out of our mouths, it takes the authority of man and that spiritual realm becomes something more on the earth. Are we getting this? So we have to understand, we are first and foremost spiritual beings. Let me see what I got here. I've already said all of that, so I'm just going to skip it because we've got to keep going. All right, so we got that. So we talked about that. I'm trying to see if my notes, I just stopped using my notes a while back. That's right. So just to recap on that, we have spiritual, okay, everybody understands we have authority. That's a done deal. It's never taken back. We have it. Jesus Christ purchased for us. We have a commission now. We not only have authority on earth, but now what? In heaven, right? Where we have authority now. We have authority on this to take this place back for Jesus Christ, destroy the works of the enemy. The weapons of our warfare are not mighty, not carnal, but mighty. What? And pulling down strongholds, right? Every argument, take everything captive, and we do not let anything exalt itself above the Word of God. Right? That's where our authority lies. So let's go into how do we use our authority. Because I asked the Lord about this, because I was like, Lord, I always feel like there's something missing. Because there's so many times, how many people like, I mean, you try hard to take authority. I mean, you see sickness in your life, and you're like, I reject that in the name of Jesus. This is not going to be me. And sometimes you don't see anything move. I mean, is that fair? Right? And you know what we do? We start thinking the dumb thoughts. Well, what's got to be somebody's problem? Either God doesn't love me enough, or maybe I didn't do something right, or I shouldn't have watched that TV show last night, and start thinking about like what you did to screw it up. Does everyone else do that, or am I the only one? Okay, good. Thank you. I'm in good company. So, and I was like, Lord, there's something missing. And He started showing me that. He said, well, here's the thing. Here's one thing that Adam did. He always had authority, but what did also Adam do every day? He walked with God. And I heard this thing that Bill Johnson said, and it struck me really hard. He said, a lot of people don't realize this, but it's two things. It's not just authority. It's authority and power. You can have authority over something, not have any power. In other words, authority comes in the commission, right? Matthew 28. We have authority because we've been commissioned. We're ambassadors, right? We have a commission to go forth and change the world, all heaven and earth. But power, guys, comes from the encounter. Let me say that again. Authority comes from the commission. power comes from the encounter. So many times in our lives, we're walking around with thinking we have authority, but we're not abiding in Christ and we have no power. Adam had authority. He had authority outside of the garden, but he wasn't walking with God. He had no power. Do we understand this? Think about the disciples. Actually, go with me to go to the next one. We'll go to Mark 3. Because this is the verse God showed me. They said, this is, say, Jeremy, this is the ministry I've called you to. And this is back when I was in the other church. And this is the direction I've been going in my life and in the churches that I've been teaching. And this is Mark 3, 13 through 15. And check this out. He said, and this is Jesus. He went up on the mountain to call to them those he wanted. In other words, he said, those he loved. So those he desired to be with him. Okay? How many know Jesus desires you to be with him? Okay? I see a few hands. Okay, good. I was like, we need to start going back to another lesson real quick. And they came to him, which means what? They responded. How many of you responded to Jesus? How many have seen his love and said, I want to be part of that? Right? All right. Then he appointed 12, which means he commissioned them. It means he ordained them. It means that he absolutely perfected them. In other words, he made it so that it's like you couldn't have one without the other. They were perfected together. It's like they perfectly fit. They're ordained, perfected. Right? 12, which are the ones he's chosen. How many know God's chosen us? So let's read this. So he's perfected you, whom he's chosen, to that they might be what? With him. And that he might send them out to preach. What came first? Be with him. And then they went out and they had power to heal sickness and cast out demons. It takes both, guys. It takes both. You can mantra declarations all day long. You can sit there and quote scripture all day long. And I'm not saying that's not good stuff, guys, because sometimes that's all we have, right? Sometimes we're holding on to that so desperately, waiting for Jesus to come. But if you're waiting on him in stillness, he will come. Do you understand? So I'm not saying these things aren't good, but we can't take a passive look at this anymore and just go about our daily life and just be like a little twing or something happens, you're like, you just take a quote of scripture and you just keep walking by and thinking that's enough. When the power comes in the stillness of being with him, in the secret place to be with him first, let him give you the power to do what he's called you to do. And then when you stand before that mountain, all of a sudden you know in your heart that mountain has to move. Because it's not about what he said, it's about who you've been with. You've been with Jesus. And that's all the power you need. You know, Eric Gilmore in his book, I don't know if you guys, well, everyone should have read that if you've been. But he says, it's interesting. Anybody seen the Third Encounter or that movie? I remember. Yeah, Close Encounter of the Third Kind. And he says there's this part that's like where the spaceship would hover over the house, right? And as soon as it would hover over the house, everything in the house turned on. It's like the blender and the TV and all these things are just powered up. He says that's so much like the presence of God. So when you're in your presence, everything just turns on. Your faith turns on. Belief systems turn on. Your authority, everything just begins to work. And all of a sudden, you're walking in that. I thought that was a pretty cool analogy. That's the importance of it. Guys, we can't just have authority and just realize, hey, listen, this sounds really good. I'm going to go and step on, you know, scorpions and drink poison or whatever it says in the word, you know, all that stuff. And not be in his presence, I wouldn't recommend it. Okay? I wouldn't recommend it. That's the importance of presence. Go with me to Acts 1. We can go to this next one. This is what the disciples did. Now, the disciples had already been given the commission, right? Excuse me, let me get some water real quick. So, disciples already been given the commission. So, why didn't they just go start out doing stuff? What do they have to wait for? You shall receive power. Now, this is a different word from authority. Authority is exousia. This is dynamos. which means power, right? But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. They had to wait for the power. They had to wait until they had the encounter, right? If they started just going out walking their authority, what would have happened? Everybody remember the sons of Sceva? They got whooped, right? Because when Jesus came down, God just needed somebody with just authority, he could have chosen any man, but he needed somebody with authority and power. And Jesus showed us what that looked like, right? By being one with the Father, letting Holy Spirit come in, right? And now he was the power of the Spirit, and he walked and abided in that. He abided in walking with the Spirit and walking with the Father. He made sure to take time out of his day to go be in the presence of his Father and let the Holy Spirit invigorate and repower him, right? So he was always walking in that. He never gets sidetracked. That was his most important part of the day. He would leave people who were in sickness, guys, to go be with his Father. Because he recognized the importance of this. He was showing this to us. It's not like he was ever separated from his Father. He could have walked in his own power. He was God. But he chose to show us what it looks like. So that we take the time to make sure that we're in that place with him and the Father, so that we're built up and we see just who we truly are, and we're empowered by that Holy Spirit. So when we're walking the day, we're walking in the presence of the Spirit, so that when we go forth and we see someone in sickness, we lay hands on them, not only in authority, but in power. We getting this? I mean, this is good preaching. I want to talk about a little bit, so how do we walk in this? I've been talking about this. First off, we have to understand we have to have the encounter. We have to have the power. Another thing I want to talk about is, go with me to, first off, go with me to 1 Peter 2:24. Everybody, I know you know this verse, but I want you to understand something. I want us to get a picture. Okay, I don't know, anyone ever been in law enforcement here? Law enforcement? No? No one? Okay, that's probably good. So in law enforcement, what do you do? Okay, you go and they go to class, right? What are they learning in those classes to be a police officer? Law. They got to learn the laws. The laws that they're going to be enforcing, right? I mean, you can't enforce it if you don't know what laws you're enforcing, right? And then what did they do? Then they started recognizing, of course, all the commands and all this stuff like this as well. But then they're showed how to use their power, right? They know how to use their weapons and things like that as well. Then they're also shown exactly like what happens if they need backup and things like this as well. But the first thing is they have to understand the laws, okay? Did you know that the kingdom of God has spiritual laws, right? 1 Peter 2:24 is a spiritual law. It says, and who himself bore our sins in his own body on a tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By those stripes, you were what? You were healed. Did you know that that's a spiritual law? Did you know that you are on earth to enforce God's kingdom laws? If we don't understand the law, guys, how can we enforce it? If we don't understand that that is a past tense and not a present tense, that it's not something that it's like happens, oh, well, he might do something today, or he might, if God's not busy, maybe I'll get healing. If we don't understand that it's like by his stripes, you were healed is a kingdom law, then how can you enforce it? Do you understand what I'm saying? We have to begin, when we're starting to use our authority, you have to understand that there's kingdom laws out here. There's principles in this book that says things like, you're holy and righteous, right? And Christ Jesus. That's a kingdom law. It says to be spiritually minded is life. Kingdom law. Reaping and sowing is a kingdom law. We reap to the Spirit, right? Not to the flesh. If you reap to the Spirit, what happens? You sow in the Spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we have to start realizing that first and foremost, these are kingdom laws. If a police officer went out there and started being like, Yeah, I don't think I'm going to force that. I don't know if I really agree with that law. Yeah, I'm not going to do that. That person probably needed that beating. I'm not going to enforce, I mean, it would be kind of a pretty chaotic place in the world if the police weren't enforcing the laws that they were taught. So we have to start understanding and realizing that there's kingdom laws that are in place that you have the not only the right, but the responsibility to enforce. Right? So when we begin to see, this was just one example, but this is a big one because this is one where hangs up a lot of people. By his stripes, you were healed. You have the right to enforce that on the earth. Not only the right, but a responsibility to enforce that on the earth. But that's why you got to go to roll call every day and make sure you have the power and be with him. So that when we're with him, we get built up, we can go out, and we can enforce kingdom law on this world so that people can see the truth of who he really is. So when you go forth and you see someone in sickness, you're no longer like shying away, like, I don't know if that's really going to happen. We're like, wait a second, that's a kingdom law. Of course this has to happen in the name of Jesus. It's kingdom law. When he says it, not only did he say it, he bought it. He paid for it. Right? The next thing we're going to talk about is, go with me to Proverbs 18:21, because this comes from understanding some of these laws. Everybody's good? All right. Oh, really? Everybody's good with me, right? We're good? 18:21 says, death and life are what? In the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. So remember, we have the ability to choose life and death, right? Did you know that every time you speak, you're either enforcing God's kingdom or the devil's kingdom? Uh-oh. We like to think that these... Bernard, and please hear my heart. I'm not trying to get anyone into condemnation here. Please. That's not my heart. I want us to wake up to these realities. Because we have... Thank God for grace. Thank God for his blood. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. That we're like fumbling around children and God's still able to pick us up at every instance. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Right? This is learning, not condemning. All right? We get this? Everybody's good? Okay. But the reality is, every time you speak, you're either producing life or death. And those come from what you're thinking mostly, right? So when you're going down the road and someone cuts you off, you're like, oh man, and they're probably going to get in a car accident. Don't tell me you ain't done that. Come on. You're thinking, oh well, yeah, or you're like, or everyone does the prayer, like, and that we guys like kind of our hurts and stuff through prayer. It's kind of like, oh, and just bless my husband, man. He just really needs you because he's just this, you know, he's just stubborn and he just, you know, he's sorry, but it's a prayer, right? So it's good. but we're seeing this every single time you speak. You're either producing life or death. There's no third. There's no benign speaking in the world. Okay? That's the importance of who we are. You realize that, right? You're so important to the kingdom that he's given you so much authority that every time you speak, you either produce life or you produce death. That's how important you are. You are not a secondhand string person in this game, guys. All right? You're not a pawn. You're a warrior in the kingdom of God. And we got to start waking up to these realities. Every time we do something in the flesh, we're either doing it for righteousness or for sin and death. Andrew Womack says this. He says that Your actions are the ultimate manifestation of your authority. Did you know that? He says, your actions are the ultimate manifestation of your authority because you will live out what you believe. You will. That's why this is so important. And I'm so grateful for you guys because I couldn't teach this probably in another church. I'd get thrown out. But we're coming into a place, guys, where the world so desperately need the sons of God to stand up and take the authority in which and the power we've been given. They're so desperate out there. I'm telling you, they put on a great facade. People at work, things like this, they put on this great facade that they've got it all together until they go home at night and they're so desperately searching for Jesus. And yet we're stuck in our ways, still speaking death, mostly over ourselves. And then we're surprised why that's the results we get. Remember when I talked about the enemy's only authority is the one you give him? When you speak, you give him authority. That's what Adam and Eve did. How is it any different today? Do you get what I'm saying? Do you see the importance of this? Again, I'm not trying to condemn people for what the things we've... I get it. We're learning this. But I want to put it on our radar to realize that it's not a small thing when you speak bad about your child. It's not a small thing when you speak bad about your spouse or the person next to you or your coworker. I mean, it's bad it's not a good thing. It's not benign. It's not benign to sit there and be like, oh man, I think I'm coming down with something. I'm coming down with sickness. That's not a benign thing, guys. I know it's like, it's maybe sound like I'm getting paranoid. It's not paranoia. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who will eat of it. So we're having to start doing that. We talked about this. We're changing the way we think and what we imagine. We're guarding our hearts by the word where it's going to help us to what we speak and walk and see. We get into that secret place with him so that he's the one who's witnessing these truths and teaching us how to walk like him and empowering us and showing us our value and just building us up in him. And he's putting on our armor as we walk out the door. You know, most people didn't put on their own armor. They had someone else put it on for them. And he puts that on there and he cinches up the belt of truth and he gets out the door and he walks beside us and he shows us, it's like, okay, there, that's my boy walking in authority. There it is, there's sickness over here. What are you going to do? Absolutely. Lay hands and they're healed. We get in this picture? That's the power, that's the importance of what we're talking about here. It says, I wrote this down, authority and power is to release the kingdom and manifest the Spirit. Is to release the kingdom and manifest the Spirit. That's what we have it for. I want to full close with this because I read, again, I love Andrew Murray. And he touches my heart on some of these things. And he did this passage on the vine, you know, abiding in him. He's very much into about abiding. It says, you have the vine and the branch. And here's this cool thing about the vine and the branch, guys. It says, the vine does not live for itself. The fatness and the power it has is all for the branch to produce fruit, right? And then the branch does this thing where the branch produces, has fruit in of itself, and it shows the fruit, which shows the excellence of the vine. And it says the crazy thing about God is this, is that the branch can't live without the vine. And Jesus said that outside of me, you're nothing. That's why it's so important to abide in him. What was he talking about? Abiding. Outside of me, you're nothing. You have no power. But the crazy thing is this, the vine is nothing without the branch. That's how he's made it. Don't you understand how valuable we are? The vine's nothing without the branch either, guys. And he's made it so that we can showcase fruit and show the world what they desperately need to see. Him. And he's made us the ambassadors to do that. I can think of a million ways he should have done it better. Not chosen me. But he didn't, because he believes in me and loves me. He says, I'm going to show you what you look like when I get inside of you and give you authority and power. I want you to literally experience what it's like to walk like me, because that's how I've made you, and that's what I've made you. See the power of that? The vine can also do nothing without the branches. All right, that plane just landed. Awesome. Well, let's just say a quick prayer. Everybody's good? Let's say a quick prayer, and then we'll do some communion real quick. I know it's getting late. I try to go fast. But all I could see was Randy in the back going, slow down. Father, we're just so thankful today, Lord, of who you are. Lord, as we just take this communion with you, Lord, we know we're one with you. Lord, just teach us further what it means to abide in you. Teach us the value of who we are in the role that we have on this earth as well, Lord God, that this, everything we do, everything we say, everything we think, Lord God, so vital for the kingdom, Lord. Let us just see the reality of that in our hearts and minds, God, so that you begin to showcase us. So as we go into that secret place, you're transforming us from the inside out, so our thoughts become like you. Our speech becomes like you. We walk like you, Lord. Let's not discount those things. Let us just make sure we're not taking it for granted, Lord, walking every day in the cool of the day with you. Lord, we know we have the authority, but we also need your power. We're nothing outside of you. And I don't understand why you would choose us to be your fruit bearers, but you have. And Lord, we take that responsibility and we say yes. We will be the amen to your yes to the world. I'm so thankful for you, Lord. If you just bless these elements as we take them as one, as a body, and a family, Lord. My brothers and sisters, we just come to just worship you and just commune with you right now. We just want to be with you. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.